Here was a man that was quite zealous for the Lord, and I think of myself as being zealous. Or maybe it's his boldness. He was indeed bold. He was impatient. He was impulsive at times. He was overconfident too. He said he could do things that he didn't do. He said he would do things he did not do. He said he wouldn't do things he did. He was overconfident. And yet Peter got in his own way at times, and we're going to see part of that in our study this morning. I want to suggest you, beginning with Matthew chapter 26. Part of Matthew 26 has been read to you this morning. But I want to back up just a little bit in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 31. Peter boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord, saying what he would do. And remember, we talked about this in a little bit in the last study, that the Lord had said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. And Peter said, I will never be made to stumble, verse 33. I will never do that. I am devoted to you, Lord. I'm following you, Lord. I will not be made to stumble. That's never going to happen. And the Lord went on to say that you'll deny me three times, even this very night, before the rooster crows twice. And he said, I'll even die for you, but I will not deny you. He proclaimed his devotion. I am committed to you. I am devoted to you. And yet, when Jesus was arrested, just shortly after that bold proclamation, when Jesus was arrested, he followed at a distance. So let's look at verse 58, and you might underline in your Bible if you're so disposed to mark things. But Peter followed him, the text says, at a distance. Have you paid attention to the fact that the Lord, as he was arrested, had one of his disciples following him all right, but the text says it was at a distance. Now, there's another account in Mark and one in Luke, and we'll give attention to those as the lesson unfolds, not at this juncture, but Mark 14 says he followed at a distance. So does Luke 22 said he followed at a distance. Let's turn to John 18. John's account words this a little bit different. The King James, I think, had said in Matthew 26, he followed afar off. But John 18, beginning at verse 15, the text says, and Peter followed, and so did the other disciple. Now the disciple known to the high priest, was known to the high priest, went in, and Jesus, and in verse 16, but Peter stood at the door outside. Didn't use it the same phrase of following at a distance, but as another disciple whom we think to be John, we'll talk more about him in a moment, that as he goes in, Peter stands outside. He's following all right, but he's following at a distance. Do you follow at a distance? Are you a follower of the Lord that follows at a distance? Let's talk this morning about following at a distance. That's what Peter did. But I'm more concerned not so much about Peter as following at a distance is much of a danger for us as it was for Peter. The same problems he faced may be the very problems that we're facing. So let's talk about following at a distance. I want to see four things in our study this morning. I want to talk about the reasons why Peter did that. Why did he follow at a distance? He did follow the Lord, all right, but he followed at a distance. Why did he do that? What does the text say? What implications might be in the text of the reason for his doing so? Secondly, is there any danger in doing that? Was he better off because he was following at a distance, or did that create a problem for him? And then thirdly, we'll talk about signs that may give indication that one is following at a distance. You might be following at a distance. What signs could we watch for? And last of all, we want to talk about the justification. What did Peter say the reason was? What did the text say the reason was? What reason would he give, or what, if we could ask Peter, Peter, why are you following at a distance? What would he say? And the text gives us some indication of that. And we'll see what that is here in just a moment. So let's start talk about the reason. Why was he following at a distance? May I suggest two or three things here? First of all, there was a fear of a close association. There was a fear of a close association. For Peter, the fear was that if he was any closer to Jesus than he is, at following at a distance, he might be in trouble. Let's give some indication from the context back in Matthew 26. Look at verse 57. Our statement in verse 58 follows on the heels of this. Verse 57 said, and they laid hold of Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. They arrested Jesus. He might be too if he said, I'm with him. If he's following, standing right beside Jesus and said, I'm with him, I'm his disciple, and whatever you do to him, I want you to do to me, they might arrest him too. Jesus was on trial. They led him away to Caiaphas, the text. He could be too. Not only that, but I want you to notice they wanted to kill Jesus. The very next verse in our context, verse 59. Now the chief priest and the elders all took counsel, and they sought false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. So they're trying to kill Jesus. They might kill him too. So why does he follow at a distance? Seemingly, it's because of a fear of a closer association. If I get closer to Jesus, they might do to me what they're doing to him. And I want to suggest that for us, an application of that, that we often fear a closer association. That I want to be a follower of Jesus, but I don't want to get too close and I don't want to be too involved because I might be expected to be involved in things that I don't want to be involved in. You ever have any people that want to be a part of the local church? They want to place membership, they want to be baptized, but they don't want to be involved in things. They want to follow, but they want to follow at a distance. They don't want to get too close. You see, they might be expected to give up some things. They might be expected to give up their practice. Here's something I'm doing. Here's something I'm engaged in. I don't want to give that up. And so I don't want to get any closer to the Lord because I might be expected to give that up. It might be a close relationship of friends. It might be an unscriptural relationship I might have to give up. I don't want to do that. So consequently, I don't want to get any closer. It might be that if I got closer to the Lord, I might be held to a higher standard, and I might be expected to follow that standard. As long as I'm following at a distance, nobody's expecting me to do everything that everybody else is doing. But if I get a little closer, they might hold out this standard and expect me to follow that. I don't want to do that just yet. But I do want to follow Jesus. Why was he following at a distance? Because of a fear of a closer association. Secondly, he may have deceived himself into thinking he was still following. Very closely connected with our first study. Peter is following, I might suggest. But he don't want to get too close. Peter is following, but he don't want to get too involved. After all, he's with another disciple. He was with John. Let's go back to John 18 with me just for a moment. He is with John, by the way, but he doesn't go as far as John. Remember John 18, 15, Simon Peter followed, and so did another disciple, whom we think to be John. Now that disciple's under the high priest and went into Jesus into the courtyard, but Peter stood at the door, and the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke, etc. See, he didn't go quite as far. I'm still following. And it might be that he doesn't really think of himself as being at a distance. So, Peter, why are you following the Lord? Well, he's going to tell us a little bit later. But we can put two and two together and we can see he's fearing the close association. And it very well may be that he's deceived himself into thinking, I'm still following the Lord. And by the way, I'm with another disciple. I'm with him. I just don't view myself as being at a distance. I'm viewing myself as following the Lord. Why does he follow at a distance? One of the reasons I can suggest to you is he had ignored the warnings. There had been abundant warnings given to him. He had been told that his faith would fail. Remember Luke chapter 22? Let's go to Luke chapter 22 for a moment. Jesus had said to Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. But when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You know what he's saying? He's saying your faith is going to fail. The bottom is going to fall out of your faith. It's not going to hold. And so he had been told and he'd been warned, Peter, your faith is going to fail. That's not all. We'd read earlier in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31, he had been warned that he would deny the Lord. Even this very night you will deny me three times. When the cock had sounded the first time, it should have shook him to the core. Turn to Mark 14, Mark's account. Matthew does the same thing, but I just wanted to pay attention to Mark's account this time. Beginning at verse 68. You see, I'm focusing on the warnings that had been given to him. When the cock had sounded the first time, that should have shook him to the core. Because what the Lord had said was, before the cock crows or the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And when that cock crowed the first time, that should have shook him to the core. I'm trying to paint for you the picture that he's ignoring the warning. So begin at verse 68. He denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. I'm reading it Mark 14, 68. And went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. That should have shook him to the core. But he bowed his neck, and he denied the Lord again, and he denied the Lord again. And it wasn't until the second crow, verse 72, and the second time the rooster crowed, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him. But now it's too late. What I'm painting for you, the picture is that he'd ignored the warnings. Why is he following at a distance? Why is he putting a distance between him and the Lord? One of the things is the Lord had said, your faith's going to fail. He had ignored that. You're going to deny me. He ignored that. He heard the rooster crow and he ignored that. He's ignoring the warnings. Why is Peter following at a distance? He had forgotten the commitment that he had made. Now, commitment was demanded of all the disciples, not just Peter, but all the disciples. Let's back up in Matthew chapter 16, if you will. This was much earlier than the occasion when he followed at a distance. And I want you to notice in verse 24 that Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The Lord had demanded commitment of all of the disciples, and that included Peter. And Peter had boldly proclaimed, I will follow you. In fact, he said, I will never deny you. I will not be made to stumble because of you. He had proclaimed that commitment. But for the moment, he forgot all about that. When they take the Lord away, remember he said, I will not be made to stumble. I will never deny you. I'll never say that. And they take the Lord away and he's following at a distance. He's forgot about that bold proclamation. And I want to suggest to you that when we obey the gospel, we make a commitment to the Lord. Let's turn to Romans 6. Have you forgotten about the commitment? When push comes to shove, have you forgotten about the allegiance you made when you obeyed the gospel? Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. This is the language of servitude. Meaning as you were once owned by one master, you have now been sold to another master, and you made a commitment to this new master. Look at verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. You made a commitment to the Lord. Have you forgotten that? Peter seems to have forgotten that. Luke 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? When we say Jesus is our Lord, that is a commitment to be following him. So why did he do that? Well, let me back up just for a moment to say, he was following at a distance because of the fear of a close association. Perhaps he had deceived himself into thinking, you know what, I'm still following the Lord. He'd ignored the warnings. We know he did that. And he'd forgotten the commitment that he made. And thus he follows at a distance. Are you following at a distance? But secondly, let's talk about the dangers that are involved. Could it be that Peter is better off because he is following at a distance? Some have argued. Some of the commentators argued the problem wasn't that he was following at a distance, but that he was following at all. He shouldn't have been doing that. And consequently, that he's better off because he is at a distance than the fact that he was following at a distance. So is there a danger at all in what he was doing? Maybe he's better off. Is he stronger because he follows at a distance? And maybe that because he's separated a little bit from Jesus, the pressure's not as strong? What were some of the dangers? Well, I want to suggest to you that following at a distance led to other sins. Let's go back to Matthew 26 in our context. Matthew 26, verse 58 is where he followed at a distance. But I want us to look at verse 70. It led to lying. For example, verse 70 says, when he says, I do not know what you're saying, I don't know the Lord. That's a lie. Following the Lord at a distance led to a lie. Secondly, closely related, but he denied the Lord three times. Verse 70, verse 72, and verse 74. Following at a distance led to lying. Remember, the Lord had said, your faith will fail. His faith did fail. As we mentioned a moment ago, that meant the bottom fell out of his faith. It won't hold anymore. It is not surprising when one follows at a distance that they begin to involve themselves, for example, in worldliness. You see, we're not really surprised. If Peter follows at a distance, we're not surprised when he tells a lie. When he says, I don't know the Lord. We see this happening. The same thing could happen to any one of us. It's not surprising when one is following at a distance, they become involved in worldliness. There's some people that if they got involved in worldliness, you'd be shocked because they're following closely to the Lord. You're shocked and surprised. But you'd have to admit, there are some members of the church that when you get a report that they're involved in some form of worldliness, maybe they're drinking, maybe they're gambling, or maybe they're dressing in a way that's indecent and immodest, that you say, well, big surprise. I'm not surprised at that. They've been following, but at a distance for some time. Don't be surprised when one follows at a distance if they start doing things that they know to be wrong. Peter knew this to be wrong. He knew lying was wrong. But following at a distance led to lying. Don't be surprised if you start following at a distance that you start doing things that you know to be wrong. Don't be surprised when one follows at a distance they don't start using language that's not becoming. Their attitude turns sour. And furthermore, it's not surprising that they don't know much about the Bible. That they're doing things that they don't know to be wrong. That there's a lot of things that they really don't know of what's going on because they're following at a distance. It leads to other sins. But may I suggest something else? What about the dangers of following at a distance? It's easy to go even further away. I want you to notice this in Matthew chapter. Let's notice this in two texts. Let's go to Matthew 26 and verse 71. I want you to get the picture that Peter was following the Lord at a distance, and then he puts even a little more distance between him and the Lord. Look at verse 71. Remember verse 58 now. Don't forget that he followed at a distance. Now verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, there's already a distance, but he goes out even further. Perhaps this is seen in Mark 14. Let's go to Mark, the 14th chapter, the parallel account, and in verse 68, that he denied the Lord saying, I don't know what you're saying, and then he went out on the porch. He went out a little bit further away. What I'm trying to describe to you is when he was already following the Lord at a distance, he put even more distance between him and the Lord. What I'm suggesting to you is when there is already a distance between you and the Lord, it makes it easier to put even a wider gap between you and the Lord. How so? Well, it may be that you could easily lose your faith altogether. You're following the Lord, but you're following with some distance between. You don't want to get too close. And that's when it's easy for your faith to fail altogether. Let's turn to Hebrews. And notice two or three passages in Hebrews. The warning to the Hebrews was that they are discouraged. The persecution is severe. Some of them are to the point they're ready to throw up their hands and quit, evidence in chapter 12. And the warning is that if you put a little distance between you and the Lord, you could lose your faith altogether. Look at Hebrews 3 and then verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If you're pulling away from the Lord, you could altogether lose your faith. Let's go a little bit further. Same book, Hebrews chapter 6. This is an interlude. As he's arguing for the superiority of Christ in the first nine chapters, he stops here in chapter 6 to encourage them, don't give up, don't quit, keep on pressing on. Look beginning at verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the power of the age have come. What's the danger? Look at verse 6. If they fall away to anew them again to repentance, since they've crucified again through themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It's possible you could reach the point of no return. Chapter 10 makes the same point beginning at verse 26. If we sin willfully after that we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. It's possible to reach the point of no return. So what's the danger of following at this distance here? What's the big deal about that? Well, it could lead to other sins as it did in the case of Peter, and it's easy then to put even more distance. Don't be surprised when one follows at a little bit of a distance that a year later they're following at a greater distance. And a year later it's even a greater distance. And a year later their faith even fails. But thirdly, what are some signs that give indication one is following at a distance? Or they're still following the Lord, they think, but they're following at some distance. Well, one might be when one warms himself by the devil's fire. That was the case with Peter. Let's look at some passages that deal with that. He's warming himself by the devil's fire. Look in Mark 14, if you will, in verse 54. Mark 14 and verse 54. Remember Mark 14 being parallel to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 54 said, "But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and sat down with the servants and warmed himself at the fire," the text says. Well, Luke 22, 55 says essentially the same thing. You might turn to Luke 22 because I want to give some attention to Luke 22 here in just a second. Luke 22 and in verse 55 says that when the fire had been kindled in the midst of the courtyard and that Peter sat among them, the text said. He's warming himself by the devil's fire. But here's what I want you to notice from Luke 22. This was a continued association. I don't want you to get the picture that Peter came by the fire and he wanted to warm himself up a little bit and then he took off. Look at verse 59, that after about an hour had passed, he's sitting by the devil's fire for an hour. Whose fire was this, by the way? This wasn't the disciples' fire. This was the fire of the enemies of Jesus. And he goes and sits in their midst. This was a long association, not a brief association with them. He sits down with them and warms himself by the devil's fire for a long period of time. And he's not bothered by that at all. He's not bothered about being among the enemies. If so, why did he sit there for an hour? He sat there for an hour, the text said. Reminds me of Lot, who pitched his tent towards Sodom. Remember that? That association with evil that brought corruption to his own family. Listen to this carefully as I suggest to you that when you are among and around the world of sin, you're following at a distance. Are you warming yourself by the devil's fire? When the fires are raging among the devil and his people, do you find yourself comfortable sitting among them for an hour, for a long period of time? And when you're around the world of sin and you're among the world of sin and you're comfortable with that and you're not bothered by that, you're following at a distance. That was the case with Peter. But that's not all. As we talk about the signs, I want to suggest to you that it was a case where he had rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Let that sink in. He had rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord. Now let's go back to John 18. Each one of the accounts say a little, give us a little information that another one does not. John 18 in verse 18. The servants and officers made a fire of coals and stood there. It tells us whose fire it was. For it was cold, the text said. Peter warmed himself by the enemy's fire, the text says. Why did he do that? It was cold. Now, for him to identify himself with the Lord would have made him uncomfortable. That's why he kept saying, "I don't know who he is. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not one of his disciples." That would have been uncomfortable to be with Jesus. That have been very uncomfortable. But it was cold outside, the text says, and he sought to find himself by the fire. And he sought to be comfortable with the enemies of God's people. Listen to this very carefully. When we're just as close or maybe closer to the world than we are with our brethren, we're following at a distance. I don't know if that hits somebody here or not. But I'd be surprised if it didn't, because it hit some folks at home who become closer to the world, and they're more comfortable being closer to the world than they are their own brethren they're following at a distance. When it comes time to choose, I can associate with brethren, I can associate with the world, they'll always choose the world. Not always doing sinful things, but just being with sinful people. And they're always the ones who cry, "I'm left out. I'm left out." Well, did you come when we all invited everybody to go to dinner? No, I didn't come. Did you come to Brother So-and-so's house when he invited everybody? No, I didn't go to that. Did you go to the party we had at New Year's when everybody? No, I didn't go to that. I chose to be with my friends, but I was left out. Listen to me carefully as I suggest that when you're close or closer to the world than you are your own brethren, you're following at a distance. That's one of the signs that you're following at a distance. But here's another sign: the careless attitude of Peter. Peter had a very careless attitude. He's sitting among the enemies, and he doesn't seem to be bothered. You just think, here are the enemies that have built this fire, and Peter finds himself sitting among them, warming by the fire, and he doesn't seem to be bothered. That's careless attitude. But that's not all. He denied the Lord once, he denied the Lord twice, and he sits among the enemies, and he's not bothered. It's as if he's saying, "You know what, I'm okay, I'm not affected, I can handle this, this is not a big deal. I'm with the enemies, I'm telling them I'm not even with the Lord and I don't know who he is, but that's not a big deal, I'm okay." That careless attitude is an indication that indeed we're following at a distance. Are you warming yourself by the devil's fire? Do you find yourself closer to the world than you are among God's people? Are you developing a careless attitude? I can handle this. I'm okay. There's no big danger. It may be that you're following the Lord at a distance. But finally, let's talk about this. What justification could be given for this? If we could interview Peter and say, "Peter, what were you thinking? Why were you doing this?" What would he say? What justification would he give? Could he give a reason? And I think the text may imply that. Let's go to Matthew 26 and verse 58. The reason Peter seemed to give or would have given was, the text says at Matthew 26 and verse 58, "But Peter followed at a distance and went in and But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end." I know what Peter would say if we ask him, "Peter, why were you following at a distance?" "I wanted to see the end." That's what I wanted to see. The outcome, in other words, the New American Standard, New International translates that, the outcome. I want to see what the outcome is. Linsky made this observation. Linsky said, "We always invent good reason for doing what we ought not do." Go back to Matthew 16 and verse 21. He should have known the outcome. He should have known the end. Because what Jesus had said in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 21 was that he was going to be killed. Look at Matthew 16 and in verse 21. He said, began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. He went to see the end. Well, how's this going to turn out? He should have known how it was going to turn out. The Lord had already told him. But as Linsky observed, we often invent good reason for doing what we ought not do. I maybe ought not be doing this, but here's why I'm doing it. He wanted to see without being a part of what's going on. He should have known. Now, we're often more spectators than we are disciples. Does that describe you? That's what he was here. If we could stand off to the side and we did not know the players involved, we didn't know the difference from the enemies and the disciples, and we're trying to identify who's that. Well, he's one of the enemies, because he's the one started the fire over there. And he was one I saw carrying Jesus away, so he's one of the enemies. Who's that man right yonder? Well, they say his name's Peter. Who is he? Well, he's one of the disciples. Well, no, he's not, because I heard him say he wasn't. Said he didn't even know the man. But he keeps following at a distance. I get the idea that he's more of a spectator than a disciple. Don't you? Doesn't look like much of a disciple. Not at this juncture, he doesn't. His justification for following at a distance was he wanted to know without a little bit without being greatly involved. We often follow at a distance. We want to know a little bit about what's going on, but we don't want to be involved. I don't want to get too close. I don't want to get in the middle of everything. We follow out of curiosity rather than conscience. Listen to that carefully. We often follow out of curiosity rather than it's not his conscience making him follow the Lord. It's his curiosity. I want to see how it turns out. I want to see what's going on. I close with this quote. Matthew Henry said at this juncture, speaking of Peter, said, he followed him, but he was only to see the end. Led more by his curiosity than his conscience. He attended as an idle spectator rather than a disciple, a person concerned. Note it is more our concern to prepare for the end, whatever it may be, than curiously to inquire what the end will be. The event is God's, but the duty is ours. You see the point? He's not really a disciple following out of conscience. He's not following out of curiosity. Are you more of a curious person that I just kind of want to see what's going on, but I don't want to be involved? I kind of like to know what's going on in church, but I don't want to be one of the main ones that's involved in doing the work. I don't want to do that. Peter followed at a distance. Are you following the Lord at a distance? We see the reasons that he did. We see the dangers that were involved. We see the signs that give an indication one is following at a distance. And we see the justification that he would have given because he was trying, the text says, to see the end. Are you following the Lord at a distance? If you're not a Christian, you're not following the Lord at all. Would you become one this very morning? Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, we hope and trust that you'll come while together we stand and while we sing.